In the face of an ever-growing deadly pandemic, public health experts and the more rational of our political leaders are urging Americans to stay home. But politically conservative leaders and far-right religious figures keep urging their followers to worship limitless church authority over secular government, and even the very lives of those followers, their families, friends, and innocent strangers. As already desperately strained public resources are increasingly wasted by preventable COVID-19 outbreaks among defiant churchgoers, and by a slew of lawsuits defending the apparent newfound right to sicken, I wanted to take a look behind the curtain of this production, and the right person to do that with is Peter Montgomery, senior fellow at People for the American Way and tireless chronicler of the political religious right. Peter, it's great to have you back with us in the midst of all of this misery. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. You know, I'm doing okay. I feel very fortunate. I've got a roof over my head and meaningful work and loving companionship. So I'm doing all right, but thanks for asking.
What do we need to know about the lawsuits that are spreading across the country like yet another novel virus?
I would say that one of the most important things is not even the legal issues at question, it's the political strategy. Because the number one priority for the religious right in 2020 is to reelect Donald Trump as president of the United States. And a number one strategy that the Trump administration and religious groups are going to use to encourage conservative Christians to turn out for Trump is to beat this drum of supposed Christian persecution. And so we see the rhetoric coming out of some of these religious right legal groups around these lawsuits against mayors and governors who are trying to enforce social distancing guidelines, you know, really over the top rhetoric portraying this enforcement as in Matt Staber from Liberty Council actually compared it to the treatment of Jews in Nazi Germany, to forcing them to wear identifying symbols and lose their jobs and be ghettoized. And that's, I mean, it's a wildly irresponsible comparison, but unfortunately, I think we're going to see more of that.
It's always the same argument, it seems like, that they make. And I wish you know it probably better than they do. What is that argument that they're making in all of this stuff, whether it's going to court or whether they're doing it somewhere else? What is that argument they make that is going to be their strategy for politics as well as religion?
That strategy is basically to portray liberals and Democrats as intensely hostile to Christians and to religious liberty. And so they're trying to portray some of these conflicts over the enforcement of social distancing guidelines in the worst light possible. It's possible that in some cases, you know, the enforcement may have, you know, singled out a church in a way that was not right. So it's possible that public officials in a crisis make some mistakes. But to portray this all as some kind of sinister attack on Christians is really out of line. And I think legally, we see kind of a couple different arguments. There's one set of arguments that they claims that they're making, which is that churches are unfairly being singled out for a different kind of enforcement than what is applied to other organizations when there's a, say, a limit on the number of people who can meet. And then there are some who want explicitly special protection for churches and an effort to get churches exempted from things like limits on the number of people who can gather in one place.
Mm. The well-funded but ostensibly nonprofit law firms now bringing these cases, we're talking about Alliance Defending Freedom, Liberty Council, and others, have a long track record of perverting the core constitutional principle of religious freedom into giving cover for anti-gay bigotry and overt discrimination. That alone makes me suspicious of the motives here. How about you?
Absolutely. And we see one of the key responses we see to this whole epidemic from the right is opportunism and the use of the epidemic to promote those pre-existing agendas. So we see the Trump administration now, the HHS, which has really kind of been taken over by religious right activists, moving to do away with legal protections for healthcare for LGBTQ people in the United States under cover of the crisis. We also see other efforts to weaken separation of church and state. You know, one of the lines that has been crossed for the first time in some of this coronavirus legislation is lines that are allowing churches, small churches, and even mega churches to get direct taxpayer money from the federal government to pay their clergy and operating expenses during this crisis. And you can say that it's temporary and it's extraordinary times, but we really need to watch how that precedent is going to be used by religious right legal groups who are eagerly pushing court cases that will open greater doors to direct public funding for their religious programs as part of their long-term effort to dismantle separation of church and state.
Mm. Peter, if we consider the demands being made on the legal front here, it seems the various religious groups are demanding total immunity from any form of government direction or control whatsoever. Where's the line between a right to risk members' lives by demanding in-person attendance and defying child labor laws, building safety codes, sanitary regulations, or even ultimately something like the Branch Davidians in Waco?
Hmm. That's a big question. You know, I think there's a range coming out of the religious right legal groups and certainly pastors. I think most churches eventually have gone along with rules and social distancing guidelines, but there's now a real strong pushback against them in an effort to kind of exempt them in the name of the First Amendment, that we'll have to see how far they try to take it. I mean, it is, you know, churches already in the United States get a lot of unequal treatment and special privileges under our laws, and they're trying to use this crisis to push that principle a lot farther. And I think, as you said, you know, when you're in a public health crisis and you have pastors from the pulpit mocking parishioners who don't show up to church because they're afraid of the virus or because they're trying to pay attention to what the government is saying. When you have pastors telling people that they're pansies and sissies if they're not worshiping in the midst of the pandemic, you know, that's really troublesome.
Peter, this isn't about religious freedom. It is not about religion. It is not about taking spiritual care of people. It's not about the Bible. I see it as a way of saying to all kinds of people, our religion, and it has to be their religion, our religion is more important than anything else, including our government. This is certainly not patriotism, what they're doing. This is not following what some passages in the Bible say about respecting those who are doing government work. Am I being too hard here, or I'm just seeing this in a very negative way?
Well, I think you're right that there is a push to really pull the church out from any kind of reasonable government regulation or treatment like any other institution that is needs to be held accountable and responsible when we're in a public health crisis like this. But, you know, it's kind of a big picture question. You know, we have a vice president whose favorite thing to say about himself is that he's a Christian first before he's a conservative or a Republican. And we have a secretary of state who recently talked about how he goes overseas and meets with foreign leaders and tells them that I made an oath to the Constitution, but my higher calling is to my evangelical Christianity. So this administration is full of people who you know, see their religious calling, perhaps, as something that is above the oaths that they have made to the Constitution. And that is something we all need to keep an eye on.
Do you know of any organized efforts to rebut the legal arguments being made right now? Because I fear we're going to have to live with a whole bunch of unintended consequences of the precedent that are being set.
You know, I do know that there is a lot of work at People for the American Way and other groups to document the harm that is being done by Trump judges on this front and another front to document the bad rulings that have come out of people that he's put on the courts. And as a way of helping people who are not part of the religious right understand the stakes in this fall's election, the push to advance the religious right's version of religious freedom is something that is happening through the courts and through all the judges that Trump and Mitch McConnell and the lockstep Republican Senate, all the people that they have put on the court, including some desperately unqualified people. So those judges are going to be a major organizing and rallying point for the religious right come November. And we need to make them a well-understood rallying point for people who don't agree with a Christian nationalist view of this country and the Constitution.
In your relentless research of the religious right, what do you see flying under the radar right now that we ought to be particularly concerned about?
That's another good question. I think a couple of things that we've touched on. One is just the continued push to change the legal interpretation of the First Amendment to really undermine the Establishment Clause, to allow conservative Christian groups to make the case that they should have access to direct government funding, to weaken church-state separation. And that's hugely important for Americans because the First Amendment protects all of us and people of no faith. And there is a strong Christian nationalist element out there that wants to really alter the meaning of our Constitution. So that's one important thing. The attempt to roll back gains in legal equality for LGBTQ people during the crisis. Certainly efforts to even further restrict already dramatic restrictions on access to abortion that are happening in many states across the country now and are being pushed by religious right legal groups. So those are some pretty big key things. And I would say, I'm starting to try to pay attention a little bit more to candidates who are running this year across the country with support of Christian nationalists and others who have a very different view of the Constitution that I think you and I and our listeners do, and we need to pay attention to that too.
Peter Montgomery is a senior fellow at People for the American Way and a tireless chronicler of the religious right at Right Wing Watch and elsewhere. Peter, it's always great to have you with us. I'm glad you're still willing to come on State of Belief Radio. Thanks again, man.
I'm always grateful to talk to you, Welton.